We'll now pause for a few moments of silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful for another opportunity to continue the advance. It is our prayer that as we provide the positive volition, the Holy Spirit would lead and direct us regarding what we're about to study, and that it will lead us closer to the objective of the target, spiritual maturity. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. In our first session, I mentioned, let's see if I can remember where it was. Miguel, what category was it? Anti-establishment? We were studying anti-establishment, were we not? And the question arose thusly. I made the comment that anything that wasn't divine good was human good. And the question arose, and rightly so, what about a person who's an unbeliever but does obey principles regarding the laws of divine establishment? Is that human good? Well, yes, it is, but we need to break it down into categories in order for you to see that there are varied applications of establishment viewpoint, and these have to be recognized. You can have a person who is morally arrogant. In other words, they exhibit themselves to society in the ways that establishment principles would require. They don't necessarily agree with these, but they make every effort to publicly demonstrate that they're strong supporters of these concepts. And these people are usually politicians. Once they get elected, then they move into an area called moral degeneracy. Moral degeneracy is where you do not have respect for the laws of divine establishment, and you are a person who will go out onto the edge of the law or even break the law when it's a way that will aggrandize you financially or otherwise. For example, maintaining power. Those who are in moral arrogance, they're involved in winning approval so that they can therefore gain a position in society that they desire and so on. The level, all of those, by the way, activities in those areas are involved in human good and evil. The one that is also involved is moral legalism. These are people who think that by obeying the law and subscribing to certain principles from establishment viewpoint will result in their salvation. That's moral legalism. What we want to talk about with regard to the unbeliever who subscribes willingly to these establishment principles, that would be a concept I have labeled in the past as establishment integrity. So you can have establishment integrity, and that is not divine good, but it is a human good that is approved of by God for an unbeliever. He willingly subscribes to the laws of divine establishment. There are others who will or will not go by these laws for personal reasons. For example, moral arrogance. This arrogance is subscribes because they hope to gain something from the reputation that subscribing to these things would bring them. There's moral degeneracy. That would be an individual who breaks the law, an individual who violates standards regarding the four divine institutions and really has no compunction about it. Then again, doesn't need to be left out. There's moral legalism, which you believe somehow that's going to aggrandize you toward God and therefore result in your salvation. So that did need some additional discussion. But generally speaking, anything that is not divine good is a classification of human good. So I hope that clears some of that up for you. We do proceed with our study now under the category of degeneracy. This course of study leads the pupil down a path of decadence that is expressed either by legalism or antinomianism. There are two forms of degeneracy, the legalistic form and the antinomian form. Anti means opposed to, and nomian means the law. In other words, these people are not bound by law. So you have antinomianism. No matter what path is taken, the pupil becomes a useful tool for the demonic manipulation that is always in evidence regarding anyone who is out of fellowship. An example that we might observe that is current is that of terrorism. In the Arab world, terrorism is driven by a religious zeal that seeks to destroy all opponents of Islam by any means necessary, including murder. And this is justified by the Quran, according to those who are engaged in terrorism. They are led to believe that they will go to heaven if they sacrifice their lives for Allah. And so there have been experiences that we have been told about by those in the military who have returned home and spoken from this pulpit about those who would wrap themselves in explosives and walk into a group of people and then detonate the explosive, blowing themselves to smithereens, as well as murdering those around them, and Allah approves this. And we are giving a great deal of slack to that religion in this country. And if this were done by Christians, probably every church in this country would be boarded by now because of the outcry that would emerge. But we have given protection to this religion in this country, and that protection under the aegis of diversity and multiculturalism is one day going to come back and haunt us. So we have this problem. The mantra, "there is no law but Allah's," becomes a satanic rationale to disobey all laws that are not beneficial to the Islamic cause. And so they're willing to break the law. In fact, there's a movement underway in this country to incorporate Sharia into our legal system. Once that occurs, then we're going to fracture our legal system in such ways that it will be very difficult for us to overcome that. Once things are done, it is extremely difficult to go back and correct them. Once a thing becomes a part of our legal code, getting the support to go back and fix that is usually undoable. I look at the thing that Lyndon Johnson proposed back in the 60s, which was the war on poverty. Well, we've been at the war on poverty for over 50 years now, and the poverty is still with us. Now, you can see that that was a bad set of human good ideas. If the war on poverty and all of the laws that were passed to bring that war to a conclusion had been good ideas, then we would be free of it by now, to at least a great degree. What is the legitimate war on poverty? Well, first of all, you must recognize that the poor will always be with us. There's some people who simply won't work. So you have to understand there's a percentage you can't help and believe that that is true and forget about it. But then there are those that could be helped if they were given the proper guidance and leadership. Government can't provide that. So the proper way to have done it, and you're going to look at me as being naive to mention this, but it would be true, that if the government had said, "we want a war on poverty," and then challenged the churches in America to go out, forget about foreign missions, stay home with your missionaries, and go out into the cities and the hinterlands of the nation and evangelize the lost, get them into the royal family, get them involved in the grace pipeline. If they needed instruction, teach them how to make a living or guide them to a resource that would train them, and therefore teach them concepts of capitalism and a free enterprise economic system. And those who would subscribe to that would have been prospered by now. In fact, some of them would have been in retirement from it all, while the ideas and concepts and principles of these ideas would have been passed down to the next generation, and we would be an extremely prosperous society because the real solution to these issues would have been applied in a free and open way. For the government to do it, they therefore are claiming from the very get-go that we're not really interested in solving the problem. What we want are the votes of these people. And if we can expand the number of people who are poor and out of sorts, the more we have, the more we can get them to vote our way with our nebulous promises And ultimately, we control the whole show. And all we want is power and money and influence. And we don't really care about the people. We hope you die in a fire. In the United States, there is a legalistic terrorist organization called Earth Liberation Front. ELF is the acronym. It takes on a facade of protecting the earth and its furry creatures, but its proponents are not bashful about destroying people's lives in the process. They use economic sabotage and guerrilla warfare to harm businesses they decide are threats to the environment. And that is pure terrorism. And if you've been in up to date on their activities, you know that they are not opposed to committing heinous crimes in order to bring businesses down that they assume, that they impute to that business as a danger to the environment. The next category is that of religion, probably the worst one of all. This is a graduate level course in which the cadet is indoctrinated into the various expressions of demon influence in the field of the metaphysical. It includes cults, religions, denominations, ideologies, and humanistic philosophies. There is a course available to the liking of any student. And so if you want to get involved in religion, there's plenty of resources in this country. If you want to kill people with impunity, be a Muslim. You get right off from Allah on that. You know, if you've got a wife that you want to get rid of, just declare you're a Mormon and just kill her. If you've got a friend you're not getting along with, say at a family reunion, a relative, declare yourself a Muslim and kill them. It's okay. If you are, on the other hand, one of the real touchy-feely types, you can get involved in these holy roller organizations. And if you want to just lose your mind emotionally, you can go there. There's a religion for everything from one end of the spectrum to the other. And finally, there is evil. This is postgraduate work in the Satanic Academy, in which the satanic pawn is indoctrinated into what we might call sophisticated cosmic warfare. Believers who hold a doctor's degree from the School of Antagonism die the sin unto death. Unbelievers who hold a doctor's degree from the School of Antagonism become politicians. Now, in the Divine Academy, believers utilize the grace system to advance in the sophisticated spiritual life and become effective witnesses for the prosecution in the appeal trial of Lucifer. It should be noted that Lucifer has a head start in recruitment into his system of didactics, since all Homo sapiens are born into the Satanic Academy. Now, that is a stunning piece of information for new parents. Because when the little child is born, they hold it in their arms, and it's such a precious little creature, and surely it's an angel sent from heaven. But you do need to understand that when it received selection, a soul imputed to its biological life, that it became a student in the Cosmic Academy. And the mission for a parent within the confines of the laws of divine establishment is to educate that child to the point to where he will withdraw from the Cosmic Academy and enroll in the Divine Academy. And you do that through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you do it. We do it here. We give an effort back in the back room on Sundays. And I understand midweeks classes are up and running. But that's 4 hours max. For the rest of the time, you have them under your roof. And therefore, you're constantly seeking to envelop their souls in concepts. And they're unbelievers now. They're in the Cosmic Academy. But you constantly fire out divine viewpoint on their level so that they can be educated in a concept of principles, a concept of establishment, a concept of basic doctrines that they can subscribe to. And ultimately, they will believe somewhere around the age of 12. They will believe it because they can understand the abstract thought behind most of this. But they're constantly being fed these principles of information related to Bible doctrine. And therefore, when they get saved, they have an inventory that they can therefore begin to recall and therefore amplify by means of the Holy Spirit. If all they know is cosmic viewpoint by the time they get saved, that's a part of their inventory of ideas, and there has to be a restructuring of the soul at that point. So keep in mind that what you know when you're saved has been facilitated. So facilitate biblical principles, which cannot be acted upon with any efficiency by the little unbeliever, but will become active once they're saved through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So this is how parents are to function, and therefore Lucifer will attack the divine institutions in order to prevent the next generation from acquiring this level of thought. Now, it should be noted that Lucifer has a head start in the recruitment routine into his system of didactics, since all Homo sapiens are born into his satanic academy. The scripture distinguishes between the cadets of these academies. Those who matriculate in the divine academy are the subject of Hebrews 5, verses 13 and 14. They read this way: every believer who is restricted only to milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, since he is a babe. That would be a plebe in the academy. But solid food, advanced doctrine, belongs to the mature or upperclassman who, because of practice, development of the three spiritual skills, have their perceptive senses well trained to discern between human good and evil. They made it to the sophisticated spiritual life. So this passage, therefore, can be interpreted with the view toward the divine academy. You have to grow in grace, and that starts at the moment of salvation, and you're a plebe in the divine academy. And as a plebe, you have to start with milk. That's what parents do with children. They feed them milk, literally and figuratively. And when they have milk as a basis for their thought process, then that milk becomes the foundation for their spiritual growth once saved. So parents need to keep that in mind. Then you have solid food eventually, and that is the advanced doctrine. That belongs to a mature believer, one who's made the advance, and they've become an upperclassman, you see. And they, because of practice, they move into Bible classes, they're positive, they concentrate, they grow. That's practicing the three spiritual skills. Then they are able to perceive, they're able to identify from their inventory of ideas the difference between human good and evil, and they can discern that, and they also can understand the truth when it is presented. So there is an ability to discern, to analyze, and to separate ideas into the proper categories. Now, the characteristics of cadets enrolled in the Satanic Academy are described in many verses of Scripture. We'll take a few. Matthew 6:23. If your eye is evil, the entire body is full of darkness. That has to do with cosmic thinking. Now, the eye is a perceptive organ. It takes in information visually, and that information comes into the soul and therefore is utilized. Therefore, when the eye is seeing darkness, then the soul becomes dark. And the seeing here is metaphorical for observing principles and concepts in one's environment and buying into them, and therefore darkening the soul. Matthew 15:19, out of the stream of consciousness comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. Out of the stream of consciousness comes evil thoughts. Isaiah 13:11, I will punish the world for its evil. Oh my. This is Isaiah. Isaiah was always railing at the northern kingdom. I will punish, and this is not Isaiah, he's just transferring the information. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. Yikes. Shall we dedicate that to the current zeitgeist? 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, you must know this doctrine, that in the last days. Now, That phrase, last days, sometimes is so often misinterpreted. People who don't know Scripture and are not dispensationally oriented assume that that's the end of the world and that's the big judgment that everybody has to face. Well, this is the end of the church age, or it could be the end of the tribulation, or before the destruction of a nation under the fifth cycle of discipline. The last days can be interpreted in three different ways here. And there are concepts that will be real in each category. Obviously, it refers to the end of the church age. There's going to be such a drastic situation apparently on the horizon, namely the tribulation, that the church is taken out of the way. Now, it could be a bright, sunshiny day, and everybody's copacetic. But God knows, because he sees into the future, that all hell is about to break loose, so he pulls the church out. And he pulls the church out because the body of Christ has been completed. But in the meantime, circumstances are such that the tribulation is unknown to us on the horizon. And so the rapture hits. And that could be the last days here. There is the tribulation itself. People within the 7-year period are going to be praying for some release from what is going on. And therefore, the last days would reference the second advent of Christ. Then for a client nation in decline, it could be making reference to the fifth cycle and the destruction of that nation and its history. So now you must know this doctrine, that in the last days, hard times, that's disaster as a result of the rejection of God, hard times will be imminent. Verse 2, for believers who matriculate in the Satanic Academy will be lovers of self. Now notice the types of sins that are involved by reversionistic believers. Lovers of self, lovers of money, that's monetary reversionism, boastful, arrogant, meaning they major in the school of arrogance, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, unloving, which means no reciprocal love motivation toward God, and therefore, no unconditional love toward mankind. They ignore the royal law. Unloving, implacable as a result of bitterness, malicious adversary, that's diabolos, the devil adversary, witness for the defense in the appeal trial. That's what's meant by the malicious adversary. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, which means they are majoring in the school of antagonism. Cheers. Resulting in behavior that is treacherous. Thoughtless. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to an external, superficial form of the spiritual life, but having denied its power. Consequently, avoid such persons as these, for example, reversionistic believers. There's no happiness in that passage. Some people are happy in their misery, but they're not really happy. But some people just can't live without being in trouble. There's some people that just have a propensity to do things that get them in trouble. As children, they're called wild. Oh, we don't need a show of hands on that. But then as adults, it seems they can't make good decisions. They're always making bad decisions, and therefore the bad decisions result in limiting their future options, and they wonder, why is God doing this to me? And this is a good passage for them to consult to learn why. And determining which academy he might enroll, the believer must decide on the system of didactics he wants the faculty to subscribe. What is it you want to know? Do you want to know what God has to say and therefore construct your thought process around that? Or are you good to go with your own free will and your own desires? See, those that are in the Cosmic Academy usually are there simply by the way they think already. That's who they are. And so there are people who will lead them and encourage them in the ways and the trends they already enjoy. They just become better at it. It's really hard to engage the Divine Academy. You have to concentrate, you have to isolate, you have to move forward, you have to retain information, you have to make decisions to use or not use it. It is a very difficult school to enter. It's like the difference, say, between going to Alabama and Auburn. That's the difference. You have those that simply are there because they've been misled. You have others that are there because they want to become somebody. The Divine Academy's faculty only uses grace, while the Satanic Academy's uses only cosmic devices such as those mentioned in Colossians 2:8. Now, the Divine Academy is going to use grace. It is the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics. Therefore, the teaching is available free, it's supposed to be, and you're free to come get it. You're free to utilize the assets that will pull that information in your soul and retain it. You're free to use the leadership of the Holy Spirit in application. It's all grace. You learn by grace, you live by grace, you decide and execute by grace. But then there is the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, which is always involved in self-aggrandizement, self-promotion, that kind of thing. It's all about me. And so when that occurs, when you're susceptible to that, then Colossians 2:8 comes into view, and that's our major passage right now. Constantly be on guard, lest anyone despoil you through the agency of the deluding propaganda of disinformation according to the tradition of men. Now, when Paul wrote that, the tradition of men was the oral law. And the oral law was coming from the Judaizers. It also could be the tradition of men with relationship to the Gnostics. That was human viewpoint as well. And so that's what he was battling Colossae. But it can be a tradition of men in our society today which rejects most of the establishment standards that have been set up by the society of old, or it can be standards that are right out of the hearts of hell. And these things have lured people away from the Word of God. And so what you see here, the tradition of men, is brought into the soul of an individual through rhetorical veils that conceal while advancing a hidden agenda. The use for this transfer is propaganda of disinformation. Wrap it in a little establishment viewpoint. Make yourself feel good about what you're doing, but ultimately you execute the lie. So constantly be on guard, lest anyone despoil you through the agency of the deluding propaganda of disinformation, according to the tradition of men, according to cosmic prototypes, and not according to the standards of Christ. It is because of the fact that human good and evil are permitted to continue as issues in invisible war that these two academies function in the church age. It is to be expected. It is a part of the invisible conflict that has been engaged, and we're part of that. Now, if you know that an enemy is after you, then you make preparation to meet him. You don't need to turn a blind eye to the rattling of sabers. Any society that hears the rattling of sabers and then decides that, well, they wouldn't dare, or surely God will not permit it, or some other rationale, they're going to be taken down literally. The sabers will be drawn and they will be pointed, they will charge and they will conquer. So that is a literal situation that has played out in history many times. When you, as an individual that has come to salvation through faith in Christ, you are involved in the invisible war. There are concepts, ideologies, and belief systems and worldviews that are in opposition to what you learn from the Bible. You need to know that, and you need to be aware of it and be prepared for it. Don't let these satanic rattling of sabers surprise you. Do not let them sneak up on you. Do not let them find you wanting. You prepare here. This is the academy. This is the textbook, the Bible. And we get the information out to you because we have the freedom to do so. You're in preparation to engage the enemy. Expect it. Therefore, get to the point to where you are not bothered by it and you become good at it. Good soldier for Christ. That's the mission. That's the issue. You can't come here and learn what is going on and not expect the assault. You want to run from the assault. I don't want the assault. Pray that the assault goes away. That's not the game. The game is to learn all the strategy and tactics of the enemy and go out through the swinging doors and engage the enemy. And you engage the enemy with thought. You make application. It is like firing artillery. But you don't get involved in murder, mayhem, Donnybrooks, or brawls. You simply use the Word of God to maintain your stability inside the bubble so you can keep moving forward in what is the invisible war. This is the place for training, and then you go outside and engage the enemy. If you're not involved in both, then you're not a good soldier for Christ. Now, two principles regarding the church age lead us to a conclusion regarding our discernment of historical events. Number one, there are no biblical prophecies that are revealed in the church age or that are to be fulfilled in the church age except its terminal event called the rapture. So we have a period of historical trends. Doctrine leads you to understand that. You can read historical trends. It enables you to pray more intelligently. And there's some people who want information that's not necessary. Some people will say, will you please pray for Fred Jones? They say, well, what's going on with Fred? Well, that's not important. Just pray for Fred. Oh, come on now, I can pray more intelligent if you tell it all and leave nothing out. So tell me everything. So they tell everything about Fred. So when you do that, then you've given information that's not necessary. God knows Fred's problem. Just pray for him. You don't need to know the details. So in this particular case, an individual, there are no biblical prophecies that are revealed in the church age or that are to be fulfilled in the church age except its terminal event, the rapture. So do you pray for the rapture? No. Those are the cowards. Think of it this way. You are a generation that is alive at the time when the stability and the future of this client nation is in jeopardy. Look who God allowed to be here at the moment of this dread time in human history. Are there others that could have been here and been in our place that would have been more effective? Could there be others in the future that could be here that would be less effective? Could it be that we're the ones that are being called upon to stand fast at this moment in our nation's history? And how will we do? Can we go outside the doors there and engage the invisible war? The rapture is a prophecy that only God knows the timing for. So you're to live your life as if the rapture would occur today. Live your life before God as if the rapture would occur today. Get right with God. But you are to live your life as if it wouldn't happen in your lifetime. So that's the approach. It's not going to happen while you're here. It's for somebody else to enjoy. Your job is to engage the enemy. And you can only do that with the artillery of thought that you acquire from the Word of God. And with that, you can serve God as if the rapture would occur today, but knowing that in your lifetime it won't, and therefore you're going to need to grow in grace. It's up to us to take what the Bible says and use it at this very dreadful moment in our nation's history. When you do it openly and willingly for others, then you ultimately do it for yourself. It's not about us. It's not about the freedom we enjoy to study the Bible. It's all about preserving this environment for the next generation. Many of you have children. You have grandchildren. Think about them. What will life be like when they're your age now? Everybody in here is probably in the neighborhood of 20. Own up. What will life be like 20 years from now? Is that 2032? Something like that. I'm 70. 2082. I got two grandchildren. They'll be in their 80s. Will this country be here in 2080? Well, see, that means that there's a lot of responsibility placed on this group right here. Secondly, the two academies will continue their efforts to recruit and educate their cadets until the rapture occurs, with each experiencing periods of success and failure. There's great success in the Satanic Academy throughout this world. Generally speaking, only the client nation enjoys true happiness and freedom. Provides the environment for it. Right now, true happiness and freedom is ebbing in this client nation. Where is there true happiness and joy? Will any of you travel to foreign countries? How about Western Europe now? How's that going? Are people happy there? How about the people of Greece? Are they happy? Portugal, Spain, even Great Britain. How's the happiness level in those countries? Hey, take Russia. Are they happy? How about China? How would you like to be making the stuff you wear for a dollar an hour? Go to Walmart. I challenge you this. Make it a practice to go into Walmart and determine when you go in the door, I will buy something in here that was made in the United States of America. I will stay here until I find something to buy that was made here. Are they happy? How about those countries in Africa? How happy is that for the Christian element to be constantly under assault by the Muslim element? How happy is that? How happy are those people in those Muslim countries where the wives have to wear everything, it covers up everything but their fingers and their eyes? That's got to be hot. How about those island nations like the Dominican Republic? Wasn't for baseball, what would life be like there? They play baseball to get off the island. How many people get off the island? There are only 750 people who can get that job. And they're trying out for one of them. Success or failure. Somewhere on this earth, there is success and failure in both academies. May it be in your soul that the success is found. So these periods of success and failure are reflected in the historical trends that occurred during the church age. And we do not evaluate church age history, past, current, or future on the basis of prophecy. We do it on historical trends, and you're educated to know where we stand in that regard. You can read the trends. All you have to do is stay up to date on what's going on around you in your neighborhood, in your home, in the city, the county, the state, the nation. How's it going? You're going to have a family reunion on Mother's Day? Yeah, we're going to go see Mama? All the siblings and the grandchildren, everybody go see Mama? How's that going to play out? Everybody going to be happy with that? Mama will be. She loves to see the children come back. But how about the sibling rivalry? How the grandchildren get along with each other? Is anybody going to lose their temper? Will there be blood? We do not evaluate church age history, past, current, or future on the basis of prophecy. We read historical trends. And you can read them in your own life. How are you doing? How's it going on under the roof of your home? How about the family extended? The neighborhood? The city, the county, the state, the nation. May you be a person who has a copacetic disposition in your life by means of the Word of God. That would be a good start. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of studying these things today, opening our eyes to the machinations of the dark side. With this information, guide us away from these temptations, these allurements. Inform us in such a way from recall of doctrine to identify the propaganda and the disinformation that would despoil our souls. And therefore have us focus on your word to move forward into the conflict and to represent you and our Lord with great honor and integrity by making good decisions from a position of biblical strength. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, pleithun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?